Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we begin Lent, the season, let us look to the hill of Calvary. There three crosses will be found to be standing against the backdrop of the sky. Silhouetted, three bodies hang in anguish, writhing in pain. Two are there for the deeds they had done. Criminals, rightly convicted. One there, innocent, unjustly condemned, yet silently receives the punishment. Upon that one man, yet more than a man, the living God placed the cost of sin entirely and complete, dying as the sacrifice to pay the ransom, redeeming fallen humanity with precious blood, the most pure and holy true love demonstrated there on that cross. For it was said and recorded in John chapter 15, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Jesus was speaking about his love for us. And that love would bring about redemption. The cost was the life of the Son of God. And love was willingly paying the cost. Living out the truth of Christian faith is found in holiness, found in obedience, and is found in love. Just as we were called to be holy and just as we are called to be obedient, we are called to a kind of love the world does not know nor understand. A love that is genuine and true. John chapter 13, Jesus also said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Along with holiness, obedience, love is daily living out the life of Christ in us. It demonstrates that our heart has truly been changed, has been made new by the truth of the living God. As it is written in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. This new heart is part and portion of being new in the family of God. As in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, writes about purified and obeying the truth. Purified and obeying the truth, they flow together. Their order is interchangeable. Obeying the word of God leads to that purified, holy life. And that purified, holy life leads to obedience to the truth of the word of God. They support and strengthen each other, with the result a heart that is enabled to love as the Lord, the living God, loves. Loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's written there in 1 Peter chapter 1 where it says, love for your brothers. The Greek word there is Philadelphia. And it's that genuine love for a brother and sister in Christ. Philadelphia. Then there's that modifier, that word in front of it, sincere. It means an unfeigned, a genuine, a real love. So have a real love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. So brothers and sisters, we are to have a real and genuine love for each other. We are the family of Christ. But there is more, as Peter expresses. We are to love one another deeply from the heart. And here the word translated love in the Greek is agape. So here you have the one word, love, is Philadelphia in the Greek. And the other English word, love, is now agape in the Greek, or agapeo. And it's truly to be fond of and dearly love each other from the heart. Obedience is a synonym for faith. And when there is obedience, there is the result of believers obeying the word of God. And there will be the manifest presence of God's love in us towards others. Here's where the world messes up so miserably: the understanding of love. Genuine, true, pure love. It's lost. And what the world calls love is more akin to lust and selfish self-gratification and self-indulgence than it is godly love. How else can you explain the books and movie 50 Shades of Grey being embraced by the culture? What is depicted in the book and in the screen is not love. It's definitely not godly love. How else could the definition of marriage between a man and a woman be so torn to shreds to the point that soon anything goes? Even in the church, we misunderstand this love we are to have for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We love each other when we feel like it. Even if we feel like it. You probably have experienced it at one time or another. It's an emotional-based love. Whereas this love that Peter is writing about is Philadelphia and agape love, it's not emotional-based. It is based on the will. I will love you is the kind of love we are called to love each other with. It's a commitment of the heart, mind, and soul to love. Whether I like you or not, I love you. Why should we love this way? The answer is because it is consistent with our new life in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. Born again. That means to have one's mind changed so that a new life is brought about, a life that is conformed to the will of God. The way Peter expresses this born again is that it occurred in the past with an ongoing result in the here and now. The result of being born again are visible, tangible, and are naturally part of your life each day. One being this love believers have for one another. This new birth, Peter reminds us, is of God, born of the imperishable seed, meaning eternal life, through the enduring word of God. And that enduring word of God, adjective enduring, is another reminder of the eternality of the word of God. The word of God is lasting, permanent, does not change, continues just like the new birth that has happened through that word of God carries you into eternal life. Peter then quotes from the prophet Isaiah chapter 40 about life being transient, fleeting, momentarily. That's our life. But the word of God stands forever. Rhema is the Greek word translated as the English word, word, W-O-R-D. And this word which was preached to you, again, Peter uses the word rhema. Oftentimes it's logos, means word. But here Peter's using the word rhema. Rhema means that which was spoken by a living voice. Spoken by the living voice. So this word of God is spoken by a living voice, preached, and then preached to you. This living word is preached to you. Preached is the Greek word euangelizo. And in the New Testament, that's the good news, the gospel. And in the New Testament, it's the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And it's also of the salvation obtained through it in Christ and whatever relates to that salvation. So Peter is being very intentional in the way he's writing this, tying it together. The voice of God spoke the word, and that enduring word spoken by God is the word through which you were born again because it was preached to you. And that word is not fleeting. It will not fade, for that word is the good news of the kingdom of God and the salvation obtained through Christ, which was voiced to you through preaching. It is a forever word that has come from God to you through preaching so that you are born again. You have heard the word. You have been born again. There is holiness because you were born again. There is obedience because you were born again. There is love because you were born again. Now let's turn our attention to this love. What is it to look like in the church? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a great place to turn to, starting at verse 4. You hear it at weddings, but we need to be reminded of it often. Love is patient. And that word for love throughout this, Paul uses agape. Love is patient. Love is kind, and it is not jealous. Love does not brag, and it is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So what does this look like in real church life? Here is an example. The color of paint used to paint a bathroom in the church. The arguments and disagreements over the color of paint are just too numerous to talk about. I know of a church where a bathroom really needed to be repainted, and a person took the initiative and painted the bathroom. And honestly, it was a vast improvement over what the bathroom was. There were the many thank yous expressed, and there was also this: why did you choose that color? Why did you choose that awful color? And more expletive words than that even in the church. You can do the same about carpet. Color of carpet? My goodness, the arguments over colors. I ask you, how does that express born-again love when believers are arguing over paint colors or carpet colors, or you can just fill in the blank. The trivial things we argue over in the church is not the kind of love we are to have for brothers and sisters in Christ. Practical application. You love your brothers and sisters in Christ as Christ loves them. Why? Because Christ loves them. And they are a brother in Christ. They are a sister in Christ. Christ loves them. Are you greater than Christ not to love? No. We love brothers and sisters in Christ as Christ loves them because Christ loves them. That is why here, when we receive new members, I ask you as the congregation, will you love them as Christ loves them? And if so, you respond, I will, and I ask God to help and guide me. It is a commitment to love from the will. Not an emotion-based, but a volition, decision to love. I will love my brother in Christ. I will love my sister in Christ. Does it mean we all become best buds? Not really. We have different personalities, different sense of humors, different tastes, different hobbies. Affinity groups form in congregations, and there's nothing wrong with that. Enjoy each other's company to the fullest. Some people's personalities, when you bring them together, are like oil and water. It just doesn't work. It doesn't click. You know, even the disciples and the apostles had problems with each other. We are human. But even with the apostles and the disciples and for us, there is a love to bond us together, to hold us together. We are believers. What this means for you is whether you like the person or not, you are there for them. For he is my brother, or she is my sister in Christ. As believers, we have this new life in Christ. We have the capacity to love in godly ways. And yet we fail to do so because yet we're still sinful flesh. Thus the need to be exhorted to love, to that genuine love as brothers and sisters in Christ, as saints of God. We are to love in that agape love manner for all believers. This is being consistent with the character of Christ in us from being born again. As we'll sing later this morning, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We pray that all unity may one day be restored. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand, and together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. We will work with each other. We'll work side by side. And you know the chorus. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. The way we love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's so important. Just as holiness and obedience is important. And the way we love all people who come in through the doors, because some are your brothers and sisters in Christ, some may become a brother or a sister in Christ in this congregation, all by the way we love. And sometimes you don't feel very loving. And that's when you have to reach down to that commitment to love as Christ loved. And if you live out that commitment to love as Christ loves, a change will take place in you. And you'll find out, you know, I really do love my sister in Christ. That agape love. I really do love my brother in Christ. Because Christ is in us. We will walk with each other. We will work each other. We are one in the Spirit. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. And say together with me now, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I love you. Amen.